to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. As I am every week, I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith. Very excited to talk to you about the Great American Bash that happened just yesterday. A fun little show. I like to think of it as takeovers, or NXT's version of like the big pay-per-view, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Money in the Bank, which is kind of taking Survivor Series place. Great American Bash is a little bit like Backlash. Like, big things can happen, but it's not one of our main big shows. NXT is just smaller, so it has less going on. But this is a fun show. A lot of good wrestling, a lot of good stories going into this. Some not as great. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about all of it this week. Before we get started, I want to let you know two things. One, I am also the host of Random Wrestling. Anywhere you find this podcast you're listening to right now, you can find that one. Thus far, we've talked about Hell in a Cell 2019. That's that terrible Fiend Seth Rollins match. Remember the Fiend? He sure was good. It doesn't matter. Anyway, we also talked about Capital Punishment 2011. That one is R-Truth taking on John Cena for the WWE Championship for that couple minutes where they actually treated R-Truth like a person, a full character, and like a legitimate, or at least semi-legitimate threat in some capacity. So, we talked about both of those over there. We got to talk about how silly some of the lead up is in retrospect, like how not seriously they took it. We got to see a time in R-Truth's career when he was taken more seriously. We also talked about how to maybe kind of fix that match a little bit and how we could have used this going forward. So you can check that out. That's Random Wrestling. New episode will be out this week. You can also find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. Now, before we get started, we usually talk about the news and the stuff that's going on. If you were looking at the news, the big one is probably Jimmy Uso getting another DUI. So, in this case, he was arrested reportedly Monday night for that DUI. Officers say that he blew through a red light and was driving above the speed limit. They smelled alcohol on his breath and asked him to get out of the car. And he told officers he consumed, quote, multiple, unquote, beers before getting behind the wheel. He failed the field sobriety test, was arrested on that misdemeanor. He blew a .202 and a .205 for reference. The legal limit in Florida is .08. So that's cool. He also had this same thing, basically, in 2019. Jury found him not guilty at the time. He was also arrested in 2011 for the same thing again. So, you're going to hear a lot of different takes about this, right? You're going to hear a lot of when is enough enough, or how many times do you let this happen before you do something? And I certainly get that perspective. That makes sense to me, and I understand how you would have that point of view. My whole thing with this has been, this man got arrested in 2011, same thing in 2019, and now when you can be doing some of the most important work you've ever done. I would say at this point, it's pretty clear to me that it's a problem. You know, if you can go out and enjoy drinks and not drive, you can Uber, you could take a cab, you can Lyft. There's a lot of options. And to be in a place where you're continually getting caught driving under the influence means that it's probably happening more often than you're getting caught. And to have been caught for that twice before and to still have it happen a third time, I think makes it pretty clear that this is like a problem. So WWE hasn't commented yet. But at this point, I don't know how you just do nothing, bring him back, and just throw him back onto the road. More than that making you look like a joke of a company, like not taking that seriously, throwing him back on the road is the very worst thing you can do for him right now as a person. And I've talked a lot about how I don't think that WWE deep down really cares about their wrestlers. They care about what their wrestlers can do for them. But if you do care about them as people, which I imagine is true to some degree, I would hope, you cannot take this man who has this very clear problem, put him around the same people he's around, put him in the same situations, and then have him get in a car and drive to the show. He has demonstrated to you that he is not capable of doing it. He's demonstrated to you that he has a problem that he needs help for right now. All I can hope is very sincerely he gets the help that he needs. He's able to come back and, you know, we never hear of this again. And a few years down the road, we have forgotten about it because people weren't hurt. And he can move on. That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is he gets thrown right back on the road, and then one of these times he's not arrested, he's found dead or something. So again, he needs to get the help that he needs. Terry Funk, they announced he's suffering from dementia. That's very, very sad. One of wrestling's biggest legends, who kind of started as a cult classic and has just been around so long and been so entertaining for so long that you can find great Terry Funk matches against Ric Flair, or you can find great ECW matches, or you can find great WWF matches of Terry Funk. He spans so many years that you can have Terry Funk as your favorite no matter what era you rooted for. And so, obviously, our thoughts are all here with Terry Funk and his family. I know that that's extremely hard. Bleacher Report tried to write an article about Kofi Kingston proving he is not a one-and-done WWE champion because he's doing a feud with Bobby Lashley. It was October 2019 when SmackDown debuted on Fox, and in the main event, Kofi Kingston, the WWE champion, lost to Brock Lesnar in something like 6 seconds or something to that effect. And when Kofi won the WWE title against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, it's a moment I never thought that I would be able to see. Whether it's corny or not, when Xavier Woods and Big E were going to go reveal the old WWE title, and Xavier Woods can barely hold it together, he's so emotional, I was emotional right with him. And I don't think he had a great WWE title run, but I think that has a lot more to do with what he was working with and how important they thought he was as champion. It was a little bit like when Rey Mysterio was World Heavyweight Champion. Yeah, we're going to put the belt on him, but he is not going to be helped by it. And so now he's doing a feud with Bobby Lashley. Listen, I am all for Kofi Kingston being put more towards the main event. That makes sense. He's absolutely capable of carrying that. But it's not something that's going to happen, you know? This is something that can be good for Bobby Lashley. I would love to see Kofi actually get like a real match with Bobby Lashley. Because on one hand, you could have Bobby Lashley just demolish Kofi Kingston, like similar to how Brock Lesnar did. That'll make Bobby Lashley look like $1 million, but I don't know that it's worth hurting Kofi Kingston that much. Kofi Kingston is a guy that you could use in main event spots like this, but they're not going to. They're going to use Kofi for one pay-per-view. He's going to get beaten down by Bobby Lashley, and that'll be a successful defense. And unfortunately, that's all Kofi Kingston is. Not because of Kofi Kingston, but because of how WWE sees him. For whatever the reason is, you might think it would be. And if you've listened long enough, you probably have an inkling as to what my thoughts are on why that is. But for whatever reason, they do not see him as that guy. There was a swell of momentum off of a random SmackDown for Kofi Kingston, and it only built through Elimination Chamber, through WrestleMania, and Daniel Bryan was the perfect person. And now that that's done, that's never going to happen again because it's not WWE's plan, you know? But we have Great American Bash to talk about. We open with an old Dusty promo talking about the Great American Bash. I almost slipped into a Dusty impression and realized I couldn't do it. Think about me. I can either immediately do an impression or I can't and I can never do it. There's no practicing. It's just on or off. And Dusty, not one of them. Promo videos for the matches that we're getting. LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes. That should be a fun one. I've loved the story here and what it's done for LA Knight. Women's tag title match. That's not important at all. The men's tag title match, only slightly more important. Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly 2, which is a fascinating one for a couple reasons. We'll talk about it. MSK is out first for the men's tag title match. I am surprised this match is first. I thought it would be the women's tag titles because the men's tag titles feel more important at the moment. Gotta love the champions coming out first. That always makes them look super important and not like they're less important than the team that comes out last. Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher are out next. They are a fun team. Remember, this started as a feud where I want to say they traded wins, and then they begrudgingly got more and more respect for each other, and then I forget what happened in the middle there, and now they're a tag team, and they have a similar look, similar attitude, similar promo style, and they work really well in the ring together. Sometimes you put two singles men or women wrestlers together, it doesn't gel. But in the case of Ciampa and Thatcher, you wouldn't know that they haven't been a team for a long time. They've got it worked out really well. I say all that to say, Ciampa and Thatcher should win this match. I wrote out what I thought should happen before every match, now obviously knowing what happened. But it occurred to me that it makes more sense for Ciampa and Thatcher to be the tag champions, only because Thatcher and Ciampa are two characters that we've gotten a good look at as singles competitors, and so as a team, we know them better, are more invested in them, through good or bad. MSK is a team that came up in the tag, the Dusty Classic, and they won, and they're spectacular in the ring, but we've gotten one or two vignettes with them, and that's it, and so that doesn't really help. You don't care about them as much, because why would you? They're just two dudes. And so, like, having a tag team that's, like, feels important would help. However, they don't care about tag teams. So it's only going to be so important. So when Thatcher's rolled up and MSK retains, I'm surprised, but I'm not, like, disappointed, I guess. I just didn't see that coming at all. So MSK are still your tag team champions. So I legitimately do not know who we throw at them next because there's been such a lack of emphasis on tag teams that I sincerely cannot think of one off the top of my head. Can't use Legado del Fantasma again, and that's the only ones that I can think of. I'm sure that there's somebody that I'm not thinking of, but the point is, you can't think of them, you know? We cut from that. Samoa Joe and William Regal are in the ring. William Regal says we've all seen how Gargano has antagonized Cross and things aren't going to turn out well. I need to address that. So he calls them both out to the ring. Johnny's out first by himself. He looks very excited to be here. Security are waiting at ringside. Karrion Kross comes out next. He has the title on his waist. There's no Scarlett out here with him. That's very rare that she's nowhere to be found. So Joe's just staring ahead, looking intimidating. He's really good at that. I've covered that a few times, but he's fantastic. He says Regal says things between you two need to be settled. Johnny makes sure to tell Cross that he sucks. That's cool, man. He says, I've been living rent-free in your head for weeks, and there's a lot of room in there. I had plenty of space. That's a good one. He said, Takeover, you realized I'm out of your league. You are terrified to get in this ring with me because you know I will expose you. So they announced that next week it'll be Gargano challenging Cross for the NXT championship. Karrion Kross says, hold on a minute. You think I'm afraid of you? He said, I wake up every day and have my mind on three things. Never lose the NXT title. One day main event a WrestleMania. And one day become WWE champion. So, in order, obviously he's going to lose the title at some point before he goes up to the main roster. So he can't do that one. That's obviously. One day main event or WrestleMania. Yeah, it feels like Vince would like him enough that he could get there. I could absolutely see, like, way down the road, if Roman ever becomes a good guy again, having a bad guy carrying Cross, or even having a good guy carrying Cross go against Roman Reigns. I could see that being a WrestleMania main event down the road and being a cool story. I could see him going against, like, Drew McIntyre or Bobby Lashley on Raw. Yeah, he could absolutely main event a WrestleMania. And one day become WWE champion. With the way he looks and is, if they were to bring him on Raw tomorrow to randomly challenge Bobby Lashley for the WWE title, I would be shocked if he didn't win that title, just based on how I think they're going to think of Karrion Kross. So yeah, he could absolutely be WWE champion one day. Like, as soon as he goes to the main roster, he could do those things. Because Vince McMahon likes big, intimidating-looking dudes. Bonus points if they are bald. He's also going to like Scarlett because he's a little bit gross. So yeah, he could absolutely and probably will do all those things. He says Johnny puts on a pair of his wife's jeans. That's cool. Sick burn. Said this ain't a comic book or a cartoon. This is real life. People like you get beaten up by people like me, and that's just the way it is. Next week will be no different. To ensure that everything goes accordingly, says Regal, there will be a special referee, Samoa Joe. Johnny's happy about that. Starts a Samoa Joe chant. It's funny you mentioned my wife's pants, says Johnny, considering you couldn't lace my wife's boots. Karrion Kross says, why wait until next week? Joe gets in his way. They have a stare down. That's like the fourth one they've had. They should probably fight already, because it's been a lot of looking at each other. And eventually, if you're just going to stare at a dude over and over, like, eventually you got to fight that dude, you know? So, like, at some point that's going to happen. He's going to accidentally hit Joe, and Joe's going to, like, choke him out or something, and then we'll work off of that. Here's the thing. This is a bad setup for a feud, and it's weird that we aren't doing this match tonight, but all right, because we needed room for Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly again, and that's fine, but it's weird to have a Great American Bash and not have the NXT title on it, except in a segment that could be a TV segment. Working in reverse order, this is a real bad setup for a feud. You have a monster butt-kicking NXT champion, and I guess he's a bad guy. And so an opponent for him is Johnny Gargano, which, like, fighting you for the championship-wise, great choice. Johnny's going to make him look really good. It's going to look believable for a minute that Johnny could be underhanded and get an advantage, and then if Cross had a really good match with Santos Escobar, he's going to have a really, really good match with Johnny Gargano. If you can't have a good match with Johnny Gargano, there's something wrong with you. I haven't seen him have a bad match yet. So, in-ring-wise, sure, yeah, that makes sense. It's going to make him look great. The thing that doesn't make him look as great is when the challenger is also a bad guy, so that's weird. WWE's not great at having two bad guys, they're better at good guys, not two bad guys fighting each other. They don't really know what to do with it. One of them always turns into the good guy, and Johnny has become the good guy. When he said that, you know, you can't lace my wife's boots, or you suck, or I'm living in your head rent-free, the audience started chanting with him, and, like, that's cool, except that Johnny's a bad guy. Two, I don't know that I want the starting point for my feud being that Johnny is 100% sure he can out-wrestle our NXT champion. And every week we mention that Johnny is a better technical wrestler than Karrion Kross. And every week the fans start supporting it more and more and more. Because that's kind of what NXT is about, right? Like, the technical wrestling in the ring. That's why it's so much fun to watch. But Karrion Kross is also fun. Keep in mind, I'm a guy that didn't like this character when it first happened, and now I do because it's changed, and now he's just a real angry dude, and that's fine. He's capable in the ring. He's had really good matches with really good wrestlers, but still, you have to hold up your end of that. I don't know that I want my base for this being this guy is not a great wrestler, and that's why I'm going to beat him. I understand, like, character-wise, why that would make sense for Johnny to say, because Johnny is a better wrestler, and he should think he's a better wrestler. But I don't know that I would keep pushing that I'm a better wrestler, and their insults are, like, sixth grade level, and that's not helping. But next week, we get that match. That'll be fun. Cross is going to win, obviously, but it's going to be fun. There's a promo video for the LA Knight Cameron Grimes match. LA Knight should absolutely win this match. LA Knight just won the $1 million title in a ladder match against Cameron Grimes and then immediately turned on Ted DiBiase because, of course, he did. That's the right thing to do. Makes me like LA Knight less because all that jerk took out Ted DiBiase, immediately forgetting that Ted DiBiase was a terrible person in character. And so we all like him now because he's old. And he's got the $1 million title, which looks great. And now he's this rich jerk who used Ted DiBiase to get the $1 million title and the status and then kicked him to the curb. But before this, LA Knight was a weird fit in NXT. Kind of like how EC3 was a weird fit. They never quite knew what to do with him, and he was going up to the main roster, so they didn't do a ton with him. And then on the main roster, they just forgot that he was there. Felt like that for the first little while with LA Knight, kind of directionless, just kind of doing whatever. And then he falls into this with Cameron Grimes, because Cameron Grimes makes sense for this, because he's a very rich man now. And you have LA Knight, who kind of carries himself like a rich dude in general. Makes sense for him to be with Ted DiBiase for a minute. Makes sense for him to feud with Cameron Grimes. Makes sense for him to win, be the $1 million champion. That's a belt that doesn't mean a lot. Like, it never has. It was a consolation prize for the WWF title that Ted DiBiase never got. It was like a shiny distraction. But still, it's a thing that has history, I suppose. And that can be meaningful, I guess, if we use it right going forward. Point is, LA Knight's making the $1 million title feel more important, and his place in this story is making him feel more important. It's perfect. Now, the worst thing you could do here is have Cameron Grimes beat him already, and then what the hell's the point? But if you recall, the stakes of this match were the loser had to be the butler of the winner. I don't remember how long. So, obviously, Cameron Grimes needs to lose this match because you absolutely need to do a Ted DiBiase Virgil with LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. You absolutely need Grimes to be his butler and then one day turn on him and then eventually Cameron Grimes beats LA Knight. Right, that makes sense. So, they have their match, it's pretty good, and LA Knight wins. Right, makes sense. LA Knight uses a bunch of underhanded tactics. He's barely able to get the win over Cameron Grimes. He's walking out saying, bring your cleaning supplies, all that, I have a lot for you to do. So now Cameron Grimes' life is going to suck for a little bit, however long he's his butler. He'll Virgil him and turn on him one day, and then that'll be great. So for right now, LA Knight's the man, and that's great. That's the point. That's the position he needs to be in. Again, if you give him the ball, he will run with it. You just got to give it to him first. All the participants are already in the ring. It's Io Shirai and Zoe Stark for some reason versus Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae, who are your women's tag champions. It's a women's tag championship match. Listen, man, Zoe and Io should win and become new champions because it's funnier and it doesn't matter at all. If you're new here, these belts were created as a consolation prize when Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, I think it's Nia Jax and I already forgot her name. Shayna Baszler. There it is. I got it. Couldn't beat them on an episode of NXT for the WWE Women's Tag Titles. And there was a screwy finish where Dakota Kai and Raquel, like, should have won but got screwed over. And instead of having a rematch, William Regal just made new tag titles for NXT and said, well, because you got to the tag title match, Dakota and Raquel, you get to be the champions. And then they had to defend them, I think, that night and lost them. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in wrestling because those title belts mean nothing because of the way that they were created. And the funniest thing that you can do is have the champions always lose. I propose that every time those titles are defended, the champions lose. Because these belts are not going to mean anything for a long, long time. They might as well at least be funny for a little bit. And you could just do that because you don't have a ton of women's tag teams. It just seems like a thing you just did for the sake of it. And it's a dumb starting place. So let's just make it like as dumb as we can. And then it'll at least be funny, you know? Candace and Indy are in control. And the lights go out. On the Titantron, there's a battery icon. The battery's at 99%. Fills up to 100. The lights go back out. There's like a green light around the arena. Lights come back on. Tegan Knox is back. Candace is very concerned about this. While that's happening, Io takes out Indy and then drop kicks Indy into Candace, who's knocked out of the ring. Io tags in Stark. Stark hits whatever her finisher is called, and we have new tag team champions. That is funny. That's funny. Like, momentum-wise, makes no sense. Candace and Indy, like, storyline-wise, probably should have retained. But funny-wise, and this is hilarious-wise, this was the best choice, and I'm great with it. Also, Tegan Knox is back. That's fantastic. Tegan Knox was feuding with Dakota Kai. She was kind of doing her own thing. She was building some momentum, and I believe she tore her ACL. And she's done that before. I believe she has, I want to say it's, she's had a tear in both legs. I want to say she played soccer, did one there. I think she got hurt in the women's tournament a couple years ago, and then got hurt not that long ago. So, like, if we get one more Tegan Knox, like, ACL tear injury, that might be a career on her. So, like, I hope that during this time she's come up with a little bit of a different style or something to help her. Because, again, I don't want, like, one more injury to end her career or to be worried about that all the time like we were with Daniel Bryan. But for right now, the rehab has gone well and she's back. She's been on some of, like, the bump and some extra stuff for WWE, so she's been around. But she hasn't been around a ring on camera in a while, so it's really good to see her. And she's starting something with Candice LeRae. I'm not sure if it's with Indy as well, but she's mad at Candice right now, responsible for her injury. And she beats down Candice. She looks good. She looks like she's back. I figured out what the problem is with Zoe Stark. So I always say Zoe Stark's a star, very sarcastically. Here's what Zoe Stark is. Zoe Stark is like your friend's friend. So you're good friends with somebody, but every time you hang out with your friend keeps bringing their friend over. And that friend's name is Zoe. And they keep telling you that Zoe's a great hang, Zoe's so cool, Zoe's so funny. And they're fine, but they aren't all that bragging you just did. And also, why do you keep bringing Zoe every time we hang out? Like, I get it. She's cool. She's a great hang. But, like, maybe we don't need to hang out with her every single time. And your friend keeps insisting, no, dude. Like, Zoe's, like, the best friend you could, like, Zoe's going to be your best friend one day. Just give her a chance. And it's like, if you start out with this person's going to be my best friend, I don't think I'm going to end up being best friends with them. And your friend just keeps, no, dude, you don't get it yet. So NXT is going to keep telling me that Zoe is a big deal. And if we just did this organically and she was going up against people and losing just by the skin of her teeth and then became tag champs with Io, sure, yeah, that would work. But WWE is like hell bent on you realizing that this is a blue chip player, as one of my not so favorite announcers would probably say. And that analogy just came to me. We don't necessarily need to hang out with them all the time. We cut from that. Cole versus O'Reilly 2 is next. Kyle O'Reilly makes his entrance first. I mean, this match already happened as an unsanctioned match. So, I don't know. It doesn't necessarily feel like we needed to do it again. Kind of felt like after their first match, I thought they were kind of done. Also, don't know what you do to top that match that they had last time. Kind of feels like they went all out for one match. But these two are very, very good, so at least there's that. they have a pretty good match. O'Reilly gets hit with the Panama Sunrise in the last shot, and Adam Cole wins. I didn't like it as much as their first match, but it was still good. And Adam Cole got the win, which means we're probably going to have a blow-off match between these two. I mean, I'm not super interested in seeing another match. I feel like I've seen it. But it gives these guys something to do while they're not challenging for the title at the moment. And you can kind of move forward with that. But that's our main event. So that's the show. Next week, we get our NXT title match. Gargano Cross with Samoa Joe as the special guest referee. I'm sure that will go off without a hitch, and everybody will be very respectful of everybody else. But I want to hear, what did you think of Great American Bash? Did the people win that you thought were going to win? What do you think about the NXT title match that's going to happen next week? Let me know on Twitter. That's at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. Or you could just come back next week and hear what we all thought about it. You can download this episode. You can also get Random Wrestling. Again, anywhere that you get this podcast, new episode will be out this week. For right now, though, that's it for NXT, so that's it for me. I've been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.